We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, Buff Nation, Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson here. It's our summer series as we track down great Buffs. Just reminisce a little bit, find out what they're up to. And, man, I was so tickled here about a week ago or so. I'm walking through the event center, come around a corner, and all hail the king. George King was hanging around during the offseason. He's getting ready to head to the Great Northwest. We'll talk about that. But good to catch up. But it's always good to see you back in town.
Most definitely. Most definitely. It's good to be back, man. I didn't realize how much I really missed Boulder until I was here in the flesh. You know what I mean? In Boulder. It's been 2.5 years for me since I've been back. And, man, I missed it for sure. For sure. Most definitely.
Isn't it interesting when you're here? You know, you're 18, 19, 20 years old. You're kind of doing your thing. You're going to class. You're playing ball. And you really don't appreciate it the way you do once you leave and kind of look back on it.
No doubt. And you know what's funny, Mark, is that, you know, when I was, you know, here, my 5 years that I was here, man, I didn't, you know, you're here on campus and you're like stuck in this campus bubble. You know what I mean? But now I'm if I want to go somewhere, I'm on a bike or I'm on foot. So I'm passing by places and I'm you know what I mean? And I'm walking into stores and restaurants and eateries and smoothie shops and meat, you know what I mean? Taking the bike trail around Boulder Creek area and just soaking up. I was like, man, this was just right here at my fingertips. And obviously there's that balance of, okay, yeah, you need to be focused on your school and your and playing ball in your prospective sport. But, man, I just wish that maybe once out of the week, maybe a Sunday where I go out and take a bike ride and go somewhere and just, you know what I mean? I wish I would have did that. So all the things that I did not do while I was here actually as an athlete, I'm doing it now, this little couple of weeks that I'm out here, and I'm loving every minute of it.
You know what that is? That's wisdom right there. That's wisdom that comes with age.
No doubt. Probably so, man. I don't know.
Good stuff. Well, tell us what you're up to right now.
Well, I'm here training, you know, Steve Englehart, man. He's the best in the world at what he does. He's a guy who I drew to immediately when he came over from football and took over the head basketball position. Yep. And he was a guy that I could see myself wanting to work with long term. So even though I am I'm no longer on scholarship, I'm graduated, but Steve is someone who I've always kept in touch with since I've been gone, honestly, whether it be FaceTime or whatever, you know, communication platform that there is out nowadays. So I'm here working with Steve, and I'm loving every minute of it, man. He's been nice. He's opened up his home, allowing me to crash down in his basement, man. And, you know, I'm just really trying to soak up as much time with him because, like I said, he's honestly, in my opinion, and the best in the world at what he does. And he's getting me back up to shape and getting me into in game mode, if you will, physically.
You know, it's interesting. That position, I don't care if you're talking about football or basketball or golf or tennis or tiddlywinks, whatever it is, that position, that strength and conditioning coach, they can make all the difference in the world, can't they?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, Steve is a motivator. You know what I mean? Like, first, you know, and that's honestly, I believe, his gift. I mean, it's one thing to motivate an 18, 19, but he can also motivate a 27-year-old like myself. And, you know, Colorado, this university and this program, I believe is lucky to have a guy like that here.
You know, I think that what you're talking about, that feeling like you can come back anytime and come in here in the event center and be around Steve and see the staff and see the players, that's really something that Tad Boyle's really, I think, it's been important for him. He's really promoted that concept of everyone. I don't care if it's you or Spence or Derek or anybody. You guys just come on back. You're part of the family.
And, you know, and that's one thing I think that I love, you know, that, you know, it's like I haven't missed a beat, if you will. Yeah. You know, I come right back and it's, what's up, George? It's like, you know, it's like I haven't missed a beat. It's almost kind of funny, like, because you know mentally it's like, okay, it's been a while, but it honestly doesn't feel that way. Like, you know, you're just right back into it, like, you know, it's like, you're just right here again.
It's the Buff family that we talk about all the time. What do you think back about your time here, the 5 years you spent here? What stands out to you?
Ah, man, I mean, I see some smoothie spots and some, like I said, I've been on the bike, so some smoothie spots that I'm seeing that I that wasn't around. I see there's a Shake Shack now that's over there. So I'm like, man, where was this at when I was here? It's little stuff like that for me right now, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. How about being on the court? What do you remember, and what kind of do you think fondly about?
Ah, man, of course the legendary, in my opinion, the legendary moments, man. If you're talking basketball, you want to go back to 2013. The big shot, Skip Booker hit against Kansas, man. Yep. Coors Event Center was going crazy that day. My favorite game that I actually that I impacted and here at CU was when we beat Arizona. It was an all-black blackout night, yep. Man. And I think that might have been the only game that I played in at home where we were able to wear the black jerseys. And not only were we able to wear the black jerseys, but we played Arizona rivalry game and come out with a win. So. It's stuff like that, man. Those legendary games, for sure.
That Kansas game. Let's go back and talk about that one a little bit. Where were you on the court when the ball went through the hoop?
Man, so when the ball went through the hoop, man, I sprinted off the bench. I might have been the third or fourth person to get to ski and tackle him, and then we're next thing you know, we're all on the ground, like, you know, and 2 seconds later, it's extremely hot because everyone is on the court storming it. And it went from, aha, yeah, we won, to, okay, get off me real quick. I remember that vividly, for sure.
You know, you guys, I think you hit a ski out right over where I broadcast over there.
Yeah, right there.
Because you guys jumped in that big pile, and then the student section was piling on. Everything was landing in our lap, but we got knocked off the air at that moment. But that was a great moment. The chaos in the middle of that is probably something you'll remember forever.
No, most definitely, man. That's something that if I'm blessed enough to have grandkids, that's something that they'll hear about for sure.
You're going to have to help me. I've always said, doing all these games all these years, they all kind of blend together for me. You hit a jumper from the right wing, kind of in front of the bench, that either tied it or won a game. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir, absolutely. That was Washington State, and I hit it on a guy named Josh Hawkinson, who we're friends now, and we're able to talk and laugh about it to this day. But yeah, that was right by the our bench, almost in the corner, almost. But yeah, that was actually, so if you go back and watch that video, you'll see I hit the shot and I start to take off. Now, a lot of people don't know this, and I'm glad I'm having an opportunity to tell this story. So when I hit that shot, if you look on the video, I kind of take off running because I was going to go jump on the scorer's table. You know, Dwayne Wade is my favorite player. So I was going to go pull a Dwayne Wade, jump on the scorer's table, and start pounding my chest. But like third or fourth stride in, as I'm sprinting out, I realized, no, you tied the game. You didn't win it. So I kind of just stopped. And then I think Trayshawn Fletcher and Thomas Akazili kind of like, where you going, bro? You know? And I'm like, oh, wait, no. So I was like, okay, the game's not over. Okay, we got overtime. Let's lock back in, win the game. So we're able to do that. But no, true story. I was going to go jump on the scores table on the opposite end of where you were at.
Yes.
and go look into the crowd and start banging my chest. But I realized, oh, no, you tied the game. So
yeah. You just about celebrated before the job was actually done.
No doubt. Exactly. Yes, sir.
What do you think you grew the most in your 5 years here at CU?
I think that's for sure. So I would say my second year. I think, not going from not playing my first year, I was eligible as far as to play, and then hearing the news, like coach saying, hey, we're going to redshirt you, mm-hmm. and I think I grew that in that year, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And obviously, that third year as a redshirt sophomore, you know, that was everyone saw, you know, the product of the work that was put in, but I grew within that work. I realized stuff and within myself, like, hey, you know, it brought another a bit of a dog out of me, if you will, because I really truly believed that, you know, I could flourish here at this level at the Pac-12. And, you know, James Hardy was the strength coach at the time. Shout out to my man James Hardy. I heard he's with the Texans now.
Yep.
But so, yeah, shout out to my man James Hardy. I was in the weight room with him and, you know, just, you know, I was taking up, you know, practice days were my game days. You know, those guys who coach, you know, had over me, you know, my good friend, my brother to this day, Trayshawn Fletcher, I was hunting him in practice. And you know, he'll tell you himself, and we talk about this often. But so I would say my second year, I that's when I made that, you know, that transition and really honed into who I'm becoming today. Yes, sir.
You know, that redshirt year you're talking about, that's always a tough pill to swallow for a young man, isn't it? You get here, you've got dreams, and to come in there and light the world on fire, and then a coach says, hey, we want you to sit out a year. And it's tough to swallow, but, boy, it's amazing. And I think of the guys that have done that during my 17 years here, and the growth has been phenomenal. Maybe they don't see the time, but they sure do a few years later.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that, you know, and I was no different, you know, coming in as a freshman. If you remember, I slipped in at the University of Colorado. Yeah. Like, I was a guy who – we didn't have scholarships for 2013, my class. Luckily, Andre Robinson decided to leave early.
Sure.
And just so happened, I was up in Denver playing really well in front of Coach Boyle, and he was like, oh, we'll take that guy. You know what I mean? You know, he's sick. We'll take a 6'6", you know, 7-foot wingspan guy who on our roster, why not, right, yeah. Who can shoot it. So, but he had already recruited for 2013. He had already had his, you know, who he – wanted for his freshman class. I was just an extra body. So, but what drew me to Colorado is when I asked him, hey, you know, he was like, hey, you're going to have to scratch and claw for your spots. You know what I mean? But again, like coming in as a freshman, didn't play. And I was so, you know, redshirting to me, you know, I was like, man, I don't want to redshirt. And something happened in that season which allowed me to not redshirt. So I was able to – we needed – I guess I think – I don't know the math on it, but I think you need to have like a certain amount of guys eligible or something like that. So one guy ended up leaving that year a little early before the season started. I might have for sure would have been that redshirt guy, but because of his departure, it, you know, allowed me to count it. So I was like, okay, cool. I dodged that missile. But, I mean, I kind of wasted a year, if you will, just kind of just sitting on the bench – not playing, you know, if we were up, we were 15th in the country. Spencer had his 15th in the country. So it'd be nights where we'd be blowing teams out. And I go get in with, you know, a lot of the walk-ons or whatnot.
Yeah.
So that was my only minutes in the game. And then that redshirt ended up catching up to me the next following year. But I was no different for sure.
Yeah, impressive the way you developed and kind of grew over the course of your time here. Do you have a favorite Tad Boyle story for us?
Ooh, favorite Tad Boyle story. Ooh, that's a great one.
Now, remember, he doesn't control your playing time anymore.
Nah,
so
I know.
Oh, however, it is a family show. We got to remember that.
He still had the power to kick me out of here and say, you know what, George, we don't want you back. So I'm still going to be humble.
I'll let you think about that.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about the guys that you play with. You mentioned Trayshawn Fletcher, who I thought was wildly talented. Spence, Askia. I mean, the guys that you played with, there was not only – great personalities, but great talent on kind of that group you were around for a couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, man, those guys were, you know, right there at practice for me to play against in practice and go up against with and match up with. So I was fortunate in that right to go from a guarding a guy quick on the perimeter like a Skia Booker to, a guy who can knock down shots and like Trayshawn Fletcher. And then another, let's not forget Xavier Johnson, a guy who's just, as strong as he is. So I was, guarding these guys, and they got the best of me, and I've had my days as well. But, like I said, I'd be – All those things that, prepared me for that next year.
You got to tell folks a little bit this past year. Now, you got drafted in the NBA, and then you were over in Germany last year. What an odd existence that had. Well, it was an odd existence for all of us with the COVID going on. But when I ran into George here last week in the hallway, I said, well, how was in Germany? He said, I didn't see any of it. That's an odd existence for you.
No doubt. So, when I get asked that question, people are like, oh, you were in Germany. How was it? I really can't weigh in on it just because, in Germany, because of the COVID protocol, first off, no fans. Yeah. Our city in Chemnitz, which is East Germany, which is in East Germany, was on lockdown the entire year. My team in particular went in through three COVID protocols where we had to shut down, stop, everyone go home, quarantine for 14 days, and we're doing two-a-days on Zoom calls, doing push-ups and sit-ups and stretching in the morning, and then we'll reconvene at night. Terrible. We did that happen to us 3 years. And so whenever we did, when we weren't in COVID and we were able to get around, it was like, okay, to the grocery store and back. In fact, we needed like some paperwork that's saying, hey, if we're caught by the police out past 10 o'clock, we had to have a paper saying, hey, we're just leaving the game, or some type of work release. So, I salute everyone who was in Europe that they're playing through that because we weren't the only team. I've been able to make friends and stuff and who's been playing all around the world and, kind of similar stuff. But, yeah, it was tough, man. It was super tough. The walls of my little apartment seemed like to get a little tighter and tighter each day. Luckily, I will say this on record, there was a walking trail not too far from my apartment that I had discovered. So, at night and stuff like that, I would sneak out because it just got so bad after maybe, 5 to 6 months. And that walking trail, even though it would be at night or sometimes during the day, early in the mornings, before practice, I was able to hit that refresh button. Yeah. It's just me walking. I would find a stick and just walk, man. And it was just, and that trail was actually very, very, adventurous. I never went on the same really trail. It was a different trail every time, and I got really good at finding my way back, obviously, after 4 months of doing it. But nah, man, it was tough. That year was tough. And then obviously you still need to perform, you still need to put numbers up, because Europe, professionals in general, and I'm not even talking about basketball, I'm talking about any profession in general, you need to do your job.
Amen.
And so, or else they're going to find someone else that will. And so, So that's, we had to deal with that.
Even in your solitude, did you learn any German?
I did not. No. Dankeschön, that means thank you. I did not. I was not. And that wasn't because it wasn't accessible, because it absolutely was. I had teammates who spoke German. I said, I want to learn Spanish. That's my thing. So I know poquito, a little bit of Spanish, a little. That's what little us. I'm still learning. I'm learning how to. I want to be fluent. I want to be fluent by 30. That's my goal.
It's a great goal to have. Ich liebe dich means I love you in German. Yeah. Growing up in a German family. See, so you can drive. See, when you saw the pretty girls, and you could have said that too.
No doubt. No, well, I couldn't see any. Like I said, man, there was no, bro, you have no idea. You have no idea.
So what's next? Can we talk about your news, about where you're headed here in the next couple weeks?
Absolutely. And so, might have been a day or two after I had landed back from Germany. My season was over. My agent calls me. He's like, hey, Portland called me today and was like, what's the verdict on George King? We would love to have him up and play with us. For summer league, and we would love to have him on with us. And that was early. My agent was like, hey, they reached out to us before. I was going to start shopping your name next week. I was going to get all your stuff together and start doing that, but they reached out to us. So he's like, that's big. And this is before Chauncey had got the job over there, and it's just like, man, it's the perfect situation. Portland's a team, excuse me, who don't have any draft picks. They're looking for, you know, guys who can go in there, play defense, make shots, and be a great dude off the court. Somebody who they don't need to worry about off the court. And you know, my agent was saying, man, this seems a little tailored for you. And yeah, it's nobody but God, man. How this is just coming along, and then with Chauncey going, and some couple more things now. But man, it's just crazy. So I'm was excited anyway, but I'm that much more excited now.
You know, and I think, and I don't care what your business is, all you can ask for is an opportunity, right?
Amen. Absolutely, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be fantastic. Now, you obviously crossed paths with Chauncey while here. I don't know if you were very close. He was busy working at that time with ESPN and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, you know each other.
Right, right. Well, you know, Buff family. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, Chauncey and I haven't had a whole lot of dialogue, but I mean, we know each other on first name basis. Yeah. My roommate, who I was roommates with, CJ Manning. Who was here in our program, who's a manager, who worked in the office and also worked with George up until he graduated, is very close with the Billups family, Chauncey, Rodney, and that's how, you know, there'd be nights where if Chauncey was in town after a game, CJ and I were extremely close, still are. Yeah. We would go to BJ's after the game. That was my thing. Yeah. And, you know, if Chauncey was down, he would come meet with really CJ, but I would be there too, and sure. You know what I mean. And so that's kind of like our little dialogue. But no, for sure. I know. The night I was drafted, Chauncey was, you know, he was there in New York. I wasn't in New York, yeah. But Chauncey was on the podium on that because he was working ESPN. Yeah, and when I was drafted, he was the one that spoke on me about me and, you know, being coming from Colorado, and he was like fist pumping when, you know what I mean, when I was drafted. So there's that as well. And so yeah, like I said, not a whole lot of dialogue, but we recognize one another for sure.
When basketball comes to an end way down the road, like, I want you to play for another decade, right? When it all comes to it, what does George King want to do?
You know, I'm doing it now. Real estate, man, mm-hmm. Commercial and residential. Nice. Right now I'm starting off, you know, getting my feet wet within the residential game. But definitely commercial is something that I will venture off to as well. But, yeah, I'm actually looking to close here. Man, these daggone builders, man, the price of lumber is going up. So I'm actually my closing day was supposed to be in May. And now you keep getting pushed back, got pushed back. And I talked to my agent, my real estate agent, this morning. He's like, hey, man, you might get pushed back to August. So I'm like, God dang, because I was supposed to close the 28th of this month. And I'm like, man, I just want to close. But who knows, man, maybe that's a better time. I'm sitting here thinking, like, I am extremely busy right now. Yeah. So maybe that could be God as well. Yep. It would be a better time for sure. But real estate, man.
All right. Well, in about a decade or so, I may give you a call. I might have some business for you. Lastly, how's the family doing?
Man, they're great. So my dad's living the retirement life out in San Antonio. That's where he loves it out there in San Antonio. And I love the fact that he's there too. So when I go there, I can go and go see him. But my mom, she's still in the military.
Oh, goodness.
She's still in the military. But you know what? It used to be a thing for me where I'm like, man, just get out. I'm tired of you. Get out Japan. She's in Kuwait now. I'm tired of you going to all these places. But you know what? I see it. She loves it. Yeah. She, L-O-V-E-I-T. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She loves it. Like,
how many years has this been for her?
She's going to end up doing 33, man. Oh, when she, sure. Yeah. So, and then, you know, the crazy thing is, Mark, is that I'm hearing that most people aren't allowed to do over 30. Like, right. 30 is like when they kind of like start kicking you out the door. So she's doing something. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to say it on air, but she's doing something. My sister's good. Just had her second child. She's one. So she's got, I got two beautiful nieces. Majesty and Rain. And I was able to go be with them when I first came back from Germany in Fayetteville, because that's where my roots are. That's where I'm from originally. So I was able to see my grandmother, go meet my niece because she was born during the season, and she's as beautiful as she wants to be, man. She's beautiful. And, man, that was really nice to see them and, you know, get to see the family. But, yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Life is good for George King, and, you know, it's always great to see you, man. And when you get out to Portland, no one's going to be cheering louder for you than I am. So great to see you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mark, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you making the drive up so we can do this in the flesh like old times, man. So yeah. I appreciate it.
Oh, as I used to love to say, it hit a big three, and I always say, all hail the King, George King. What one of the greats over the last few years here at the University of Colorado, and now he's with Portland for the Summer League, and let's hope that turns into something more. Great to catch up with George on our Summer Series, checking in with Buffs Legends, right here on the Buffs Insider.